Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Let us consider verse 26, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Verse 26 in Proverbs, chapter 4. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Now, what we have here is obviously good advice for the ordinary things of this world. How often people have said to others in watch where you're going. Look where you're going. Especially to young people. But we can take it that we are to apply the words of this verse spiritually. Where are we going as far as obedience to God's word is concerned? We've been told to consider where we are going, not just to barge on thoughtlessly. You see, it's natural to us to go on thoughtlessly. Not to think where we are going. I'm talking particularly about spiritual things and our morality in this world. Are we thoughtlessly to follow what everybody else is doing? And then perhaps we stop and wonder and ask ourselves, why is everybody else going in that direction? We know that there are people who call themselves, perhaps, and certainly others call them, influencers. They set out to influence other people. But whether people do that or not, people can have a great deal of influence over others. Especially if they are powerful personalities, they're very likely to have an influence over others. But what is the Bible telling us? It's telling us to stop and consider. We're to ponder. Now that's not a snap judgment. Would you take time to think, where am I going? We might ask that question in a very general way just now, but my emphasis is on spiritual things. Where am I going? There's the great eternity before us all. Where am I going? Am I going to heaven? Is that the direction I'm going in? Or am I going on towards hell? Solemn questions. But we need a bit of solemnity, to put it mildly. This isn't a generation that lacks solemnity. Even death. It's not very solemn these days. Funerals tend not to be very solemn things. Play bright music, tell jokes. And yet, what has a funeral traditionally been? It's been an occasion to worship God. But then, people don't want to think about God these days, perhaps to a very large extent they never did. But you see, we need to ponder things. We need to ponder things in the light of God's word. But you see, there's that great question. Where am I going? Where am I going? We need to ponder that question. And every time we take one step, we need to ask, is it a good step? Is it a right step? Is it a step that God's word allows me to take? Or is it a step I'm being warned off from taking? You see, I've been mentioning the word of God, the Bible. And why do I bring the word of God into this way of speaking just now? It's because it tells us what kind of steps we should take and what kind of steps we should not take. We're to ponder. We're to think seriously about where we are going, the direction we are taking. And that's one very big reason why we should know the Bible as well as possible. Because it shows us where to go. It shows us what steps we should be taking. It shows us what steps we should not be taking. That's it. God in his kindness has given us the Bible. And we're to pay attention to it. We're to take it seriously. The better we know it, the better. The better for our lives. And the better as far as eternity is concerned. Ponder your feet, we are being. Ponder the way of your feet, is what we're being told. With eternity in view, as well as this life. But this life is important, tremendously important. It's the preparation, the opportunity to prepare for eternity. And wherever our feet take us, so to speak, wherever our feet take us, that's the way we're going to go on, very likely. If we're taking steps towards a lost eternity, we're likely to go on in that direction. If we began by God's grace to take steps in another direction, If we have been turned, you see, we've got commandments here about how we should live. Let thine eyes look right on, put away from thee a froward mouth, ponder the path of thy feet, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. And without just now going into detail there, you see, God is telling us what we should do. And if we ponder these things, then we should come to this conclusion. All this is too much for me. I'm not able. I cannot properly ponder the path of my feet, for instance, unless God will give me grace to understand where I am going and to understand where I ought to go. And unless God will make me willing to obey. See, That's a very important matter, that the Lord would give us grace, and therefore it's very important that we should be seeking grace. Yes. And may the Lord give us all grace to do so. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our powers may be, may the Lord be working in our hearts, and may he give us grace to be asking him for grace. You see, may he give us grace to be asking for grace. And of course, may he give us grace so that we would walk in the right paths, that we would ponder the way of our feet, the path of our feet. Well, I've got three main points here. The first one is the ways of one's feet. Where are we going? What ways might we be going in? And then secondly, these ways are to be pondered. And each step is to be pondered. And the third point is what the outcome. All thy ways, they will be established. Let all thy ways be established. And that will be the outcome. First, the ways of our feet. Second, they are to be pondered. And thirdly, that's how our ways will be established. They will be secure. They will be safe. First then, our ways through life. And we might go to the Savior. Where better can we go if we're wanting instruction? Where better? If we're going in one direction, then that way is dangerous. As the Savior said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And solemnly, many there be that go in thereat. If you're walking the streets of Inverness, you might find it difficult to find anyone whose feet are going in the direction of heaven. Now, we cannot necessarily discern which way people are going. There's many that show by their language and, well, the language may be something that we readily notice, even just passing somebody in the street. I'm not saying we can discern whether somebody is a believer or not from that superficial conduct. Notice them, and that's all. But you see, if we could, even if we could understand, I suspect very much that there's a great number. Our generation is typical of the generation that the Savior described as going in by the wide gate and going along the broad way, because they lead to destruction, eternal destruction. That clearly is not the way to go. And if we're going in that way, we need to do a lot of pondering. Not stopping with that, but that's something we are directed to do, to ponder the path of our feet. Are we going in the wrong way? Or is it this opposite way, this opposite direction? Straight is the gate. Now, straight there is narrow. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm half thinking of a prayer petition somebody used. I have no idea now what it was or the exact words that were used, but that I would be among those who go in the right way. Even if there are just a few, relatively speaking, may I be one of them. May I be one of these few. That's something that we need to bear in mind. May I be one of these few. You see, generally speaking, people want to be among the many. If they're just a few who behave in a certain way, usually people don't want to join them. In times when there are a lot of people in a particular place or a particular area who are flocking to church, then other people might well want to flock to church with them, when previously they had no thought of going to church. But you see, today is a day when relatively few go to church, and even more, fewer still go to where the gospel is preached. You see, their path doesn't lead them to the gospel. They've got no interest in the gospel, and they're much more likely to follow a multitude to do evil. Yes, that's the way. That's human nature, to follow others. Well, all the more reason for going by the Bible. All the more reason to learn what is in the Bible. You see, what is God telling us? That's the fundamental matter. What is God telling us? It may be unpopular. Few may be finding it. Few may be going in that direction. And yet, you see, it's the truth. That's a great matter. What is the truth? Pilate asked the question, probably flippantly. Let us ask it seriously. What is the truth about life? And what is the truth about my way of living? Is it a good way, or is it sinful? What's the truth about it? What has God got to say about it? What does the Bible have to say about it? Well, you see, our question should be in connection with the way that we are taking through life. Is it right? Is it according to the Bible? You see, probably most of us had to some extent at least, had the benefit that we read in verse 11. It's Solomon who wrote the book of Proverbs, and it's Solomon who is speaking to his son and reminding him of what he taught him. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Right paths. How did he know what were right paths? How are we to know what are the right paths, the right way, the right path through life? How are we to know what it is? It's what God has revealed. It's what God has set before us. And if our parents or Sabbath school teachers or even the preaching from the word, children may pick up something of it. They may not be able to understand everything. Perhaps no one, preacher included, may understand the depths of many a thing that is said. But we should be trying to lay hold of it and even trying to ask questions about it. Ask questions in our own mind. Ask questions of the books that we have that are according to Scripture, or other people we know who may know the Bible better than ourselves, or particular parts of it, particular points in it. Yes. Ponder the paths of our feet. And what are the paths? I've emphasized already the question, which way are we going? Towards heaven or towards hell? But you see, we should be thinking about the blessings that we have. The blessings of godly parents, for instance, if that's what we had or have. Children, be thankful for what your parents teach you about the Word of God. Be thankful. Ask the Lord to bless it to you. Seek to learn these things. You see, parents and Sabbath schools will teach various parts of the Word of God by getting the young ones to learn them off by heart. And you might say, I don't understand it anyway. But if you get these things into your mind, into your memory, you may be very, very thankful for them afterwards. Or for instance, the catechism. There's many big words there, many difficult ideas. And even if they are explained to you to some extent, you may still say, I don't really understand. But the time may come when you are asking serious questions about your soul. Yes, you should go to the Bible. But also, you may find it very helpful to have a short statement of, for instance, what is saving faith? What is repentance unto life? Well, what is faith? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. Now I'm putting it there in terms of Scripture. But wherever we get our information from, particularly the Bible, it's there to direct us through life. Oh, to be going on the way of faith towards heaven. Having by God's grace looked to Christ as the Savior, to go on in the right direction. There's many, you see, the contrast is the broad way. And if you're going along the narrow way, you've just got to keep between the two sides of the way. There's no variation. You can't go off in the left hand. You can't go off in the right hand. It's a narrow way leading to the blessed destination of heaven. But if it's a Broadway, one person can go on one side, another person can go on the other side, and a third person can go zigzagging along, and any number of other ways. And they all end in the one direct, in the one destination, and that is hell. There's somebody saying, I must keep away from hell. When is that to begin? Or you may be saying, I've plenty time. Ah, that needs pondering. Plenty time. It's been called something like the devil's biggest lie. Certainly a very dangerous lie. You've got no time to spare when you're called on to seek the Lord, to seek Christ Jesus as the one Savior of sinners. That's it. Well, let us go on to the second point. Our paths, our steps, our ways, they are to be pondered. They are to be considered. We are to think seriously. That's it. We are to think seriously. Not a stray thought now and then, but seriously. Seriously. That's it. Do we really consider our ways seriously? And we should, to the extent that that is possible, we should be pondering each step that we are taking, but especially the big steps in life. Someone might ask, do I really need to go out to church for this service or for that service? Oh, consider. You see, it's not just the importance of the one step. It's what it leads on to. If you have no good reason for staying away from a service, for instance, then you're more likely to stay away from another service. It's not such a big step as the first step. The first step going wrong is the most dangerous step. And in the other direction, so to speak, going to something sinful, engaging in some sinful behavior, it's the first step that is most dangerous. Take that step, and it will be easier to go wrong the second time. Yes. The ways of the world. In other words, the ways that are opposite to the ways of God. The ways that the Bible teaches. The ways of sin. You might think of them as interesting, attractive, very attractive. But are they right? Ponder that. And ponder the blessing that comes from taking a right step. Associating with the people of God rather than the people of the world. Taking time to read your Bible rather than some useless book or some film and television or the internet these days. Ponder it. Ponder it not so much according to what you want to do, but ponder it in the light of the Bible. pondered it in the light of a verse like this, would you consider it where somebody invites you to go where you well know it's not for the good of your soul? And you say, yes, yes, I'll come. You haven't pondered it. You haven't thought about it. You haven't sent up a prayer to heaven. Doesn't need to be a long prayer in some situations. By no means. But just a quick thought. I can think of a prayer in the Bible and it just has two words in it. And it's a very, very good prayer. Help me. You're trying to work out whether you should go or not. You mind a very good reasons for thinking you might go into what actually is sin. But you see, involve God in it, if I can put it like that. Ask him, help me. Help me to do what is right. Help me to keep from sin. Help me to keep from what will be dangerous to me. Help me. Yes. God answers prayer. Oh, and I don't know. But I'm sure that many a person has been kept from going wrong. Or even from going further wrong. By just using that little prayer I've just referred, help me. Or another one, two words again. Keep me. Keep me. What can we say about Joseph in Potiphar's house? He might have been impressed by the idolatry that may have been practiced there and the sinful activities that were going on there. And one can well imagine Joseph in these days leading up to the time he was tempted. Of course, Potiphar seems to have made a habit of it. It's not Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife. Trying to get him drawn into adultery. But you see, Joseph had the right answer. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now that might have been very much an answer without any thought. But if there was no thought at that moment, I'm quite sure it was a prayer that flowed out of the way that he had been thinking and praying previously. And that's what we should be. That's one reason why we should be reading the Bible and reading it carefully and trying to learn from it. So that principles would be set up in our minds. So that if we're in Joseph's position, or even more, that if that was said to us for the first time, we would be ready to give a right answer. We wouldn't have to do much pondering. If we had been pondering previously, if we had made a habit of pondering over things, it might be that one person asks another to engage in sin. Now, it doesn't involve you directly, but at that moment you do a little pondering. You consider it. You ask yourself, is that right? And quickly you come to the conclusion, perhaps, perhaps it needs quite a bit of thought, there, thinking through, and you say, it's not right. And if it happens another time and it involves you, you're the more prepared for it. Not that you're to lean on your own understanding at that point. You may well still say, Lord, help me. Lord, keep me. But you see, there's a pondering we may do quickly when we have to give an instant answer. And that pondering may and should involve a word of prayer. We use the expression, some of us anyway, about a word of prayer. It mightn't be just as brief as it turns out to be, but as brief as the expression has suggested. But you see, that there are places, there are times, there are occasions when what is appropriate is not much more than one word of prayer. To set the matter before God and ask for his help. Yes. But we should be prepared for these things. Not that we can predict what might happen. Sometimes we might. But not necessarily. But you see, we will be prepared by learning the Word of God and learning the principles that there are in the Word of God. And as we read the Bible, we should be asking, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to learn the words, to learn the ideas, to learn the principles. You see, people are likely to be lost for an answer if they have not pondered things previously. The words of Peter come to my mind. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Have we pondered that matter? What is it that we might say? Why am I doing such and such? Why am I not doing something else? Have we an answer? And it's the only answer. It's the way we do things. It's the way my parents taught me. And that suggests something else. That parents in bringing up their children should not just say, this is what you should do. But they should also say, this is why you should do it. This is why you should not do something else. Yes. The Bible says so. God says so. That's the first step in an answer. Though it would be good to realize what the Bible does say explicitly. Ponder then the paths of thy feet. And let us bear in mind that sometimes we may draw a wrong conclusion from our pondering. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. It's what people want to do. It's where people want to go. That's the thing. The unconverted person, they want, perhaps their conscience won't allow them to go very far, as they might measure it. But you see, they want to have a bit more liberty than the narrow way would give them. Well, You see, the danger is that the way they go may lead them to death, that is, eternal death. And when we do our ponder, to the extent that we may do it, we do well to ask the Lord to keep us in our thinking. We do well to ask the Lord to bless us in our thinking, to keep us in the narrow way as we ponder. And yet, you see, the pondering is not just for those who are in the narrow way already. Lord, keep me from going further away from the narrow way, the narrow gate, the straight gate in that sense. Keep me from going away from it. And indeed, draw me into it. What's the gate? Surely it's Christ. And surely then we should be asked, do not let me go away any further from Christ. The Savior spoke about those who were not far from the kingdom of God. They come to church, they keep the Ten Commandments outwardly. But you see, whatever else we might say, they're not in the kingdom. Yes. Oh, ponder the path of your feet. Consider it seriously. If that's all you can say, I am not far from the kingdom of God. What do you need? You need the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in your soul. That's it. To apply the truth to you, to give you a sense of your need as a sinner, to draw you to Christ. Yes. What a blessed thing that is. A sinner drawn to Christ. A sinner outside the kingdom, whether near or far away. Yes. What a wonderful work when the Holy Spirit takes of the things that are Christ, the things that are said in Scripture about Christ, for instance, and applies them to the soul. The truth that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of all kinds of sinners. Yes, how much we need to be drawn by Almighty power. The Holy Spirit taking the truths that are in the Word and applying them powerfully to our souls. Yes. And I've been speaking a lot about the narrow gate and the broad gate and the corresponding ways. But remember what the Savior said. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And if we fold our hands, so to speak, and put up our feet, lie back in a spiritual sense, if we're careless, if we do nothing, if we leave the Bible alone, if we're not conscientious about coming to church, conscientious about praying, that's inconsistent with striving to enter in at the straight gate, to come to Christ. How we should be praying, for instance, that while the psalmist said in the second part of Psalm 119 that we sang, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies, then we should be asking, turn my feet unto thy testimonies. I had almost slept, is the testimony we have in Psalm 73, I think it is. I'd almost slipped, I'm using my own words, I'd almost slipped. You see, we're seeing the prosperity of the wicked and was having an influence on him. But you see, he went to the house of God. He got a right perspective on everything. What he would have lost, the opportunity that he would have lost if he hadn't gone to the house of God. Yes. Or it might be the opportunity that we would lose if we did not read a portion of the Bible on a particular occasion. The opportunity that we might lose, the danger we might put ourselves in if we did not ponder the way of our feet. But we must say a little about the establishing of our ways. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Yes, that's what's going to happen. If we ponder out the path of our feet, looking into Jesus, trusting in him, then our ways will be established, our ways will be settled, our ways will be made sure. If we are drawn into the path that leads to everlasting life, and if we ponder our way as we go on, then we're in a good way. We're bound to arrive at the destination. I mean, people out on the road driving along, and they're not very familiar with the road, let us say. They've got some idea of where it goes and of where they need to go. But if they don't much think about it, if they don't ponder that way before they go, make sure they know where they're to go, if they don't, let us say, to use modern terms, if they don't switch on their sat-nav and set it in the right way, if they just sail on, so to speak, carelessly, without considering where they are going, without considering what turning they are to take off the next roundabout, or whatever. Yes. They're not very likely to arrive at the rest, at the right direction. Well, it's like that. As far as going to heaven is concerned, are we on the right way? And you see, there's a need to be established in our thinking about the way we are on. Many a question will come into the minds of many of God's people. Am I really on the right way? Have I the marks of God's children? And they may not follow it through to any extent. In other words, they may not ponder it. They may not pray earnestly over it. Show me the way that I am on. Show me which way it is. Lead me into the right path for Jesus' sake. Now, I haven't mentioned that expression. The other prayers have referred, but I was just giving the individual petitions. But you see, all these petitions that we offer up, they can only be answered for Christ's sake. To have our goings established, to have our feet settled on the rock, just to refer to the beginning of Psalm 40, that David was saying, I waited patiently, or perhaps you could put it, awaited earnestly. He didn't give up. That's a great matter, not to give up. However difficult the way might be, however hard the pondering is, it's a good thing if we don't give up. People might come to despair or near despair and say, I'll never be saved. Ah, well, don't despair. We have no right to despair. The call is to look to Christ, to trust in Him. But there's no command to despair. There's no permission to despair. I waited patiently. And what happened? And He heard my cry. He heard my cry. That's the gracious God that has given us the scripture. He hears prayer for the sake of the great work that Christ has accomplished. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. David was in a good place then. He had cried. Perhaps he had to cry for a long time. But the Lord gave an answer to his prayer in due course. What was the best time, all things considered, in the wisdom of God? Yes. He heard my prayer. Yes. And let us ponder the path of our feet. If our goings are to be established, if we are to be led on safely towards heaven, we must ponder the path of our feet and seek God's blessing and seek to remember the call that comes in the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May He bless His word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord. Take us each one into thine own loving care. Give us the grace that we need to get safely through this world. Enable us to ponder the path of our feet. May our religion not be superficial, but give us true religion, living religion. Give us a true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon us our sins. Go before us always. Draw us each one by thy grace. May we seek thee earnestly. May we be concerned about being on the narrow way, entering in through the straight gate which is Christ. Draw us out of the broad way. Make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Give us true repentance. Give us a living faith in Christ. Be with us throughout this day. May we make good use of it. Help us in all the responsibilities we may have. And watch over us now and always. Pardon our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.